everybody, and welcome to Binge Watch with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Just Say No.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Action Jackson?
I'm doing fantastic. Staying out of the cold, the frost.
I know. At least it kind of melted a little bit towards the end of the day today, which is good.
I don't know. I was in a cold ice rink all day today, and it was cold.
Ah. We are surviving the... It's not even snow. It's just a bit of ice today. But again, it's Raleigh, North Carolina, so a bit of ice shuts down the city.
Well, I did drive out in it, and it didn't look that bad until I hit this one turn and went, woo, can I fishtail a little bit? And get, all right, I guess I'll slow down.
Well, luckily, Colleen has a RAV4, which is a four-wheel drive little SUV.
Huh, so. RAV4. Hmm.
Unrelated to...
Okay, just saying. Has she been to Wisconsin lately?
No, she has not. No, she has not.
You have an out? Does she have an alibi?
I assume so. I mean, I didn't know her during that time, so I guess I don't know.
It's you don't know. I don't. You don't know.
It's very.
You
true.
Don't know.
It's very true.
There's gotta be a reason why someone purposely chooses to move to Raleigh.
It was me. It's my fault.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to the show, guys. Sorry there was such a delay between episode one and now episode two, but I had a lot of work travel and Jack went to San Diego.
I don't blame this on me.
I'm blaming you.
Because I binge watched this 3 months ago, so I'm I have to try to remember because your binge watch took a month.
So. I didn't honestly watch it till a week ago, so I did binge it within a week, in all fairness to me.
So I'm trying to remember. I'm looking. I got the cast set up here.
But you could have like done a little bit of, you know, refreshing of your mind.
Kinda. I was gonna do it, but then I've been watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia and trying to keep up on. I'm
the show
falling behind.
Your suggestion.
It was, and it's a great show, but I'm struggling to keep up on all these shows. There's too much TV.
Well, we are here to talk about Narcos today, Netflix original series that did premiere in late August, and was nominated for a few Golden Globes. So we're excited to talk about that today. I thought I was going to do the listener feedback to start it, but I'll put it towards the end, and it will be about Making a Murder. We have a follow-up lawyer email to counter some of the discussion that was had on our first episode.
Are we being sued?
No, we are not being sued, thankfully.
Because every time I hear lawyer, nothing personal against lawyers, I go, oh, great, I'm being sued.
Yeah. We'll see how that works out. But I think we're going to be okay. I think it's going to be
fine. Good news.
Oh, you had good news over there?
No, I'm just saying good news. I'm not being sued.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm having a Tic Tac, though.
Really?
Fruit Adventure Tic Tacs.
Huh. Okay. All right. So... before we get into anything, though, we got to thank the people that make this show possible. Yes, it's our patrons over at patreon.com/Jay and Jack. We used to do pay for exclusive podcasts, but now we've opened up to everybody. And that's because of people like you that support this show by giving either $1 or up to $500 a month, even though nobody's actually done that yet. But
a million.
I guess if you wanted to. I'm not going to turn it away.
Hey, Pablo.
Yeah.
Hey, Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
You're burying money. You're burying money in the yard. Hey, I'll take your drug money.
But you know whatever happens when you take the drug money? I mean, it's like it's a No Country for Old Men situation.
I know.
There's now going to be some guy coming after you, and then he's going to murder you. So is it really worth it?
I think it was Russ that kept asking me, why did they call that? What's that? Why did they give it that title? I go, because they say it in the movie.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
They say it in the... I go, well, they say it in the movie. Why did they... I go, Russ, they say it in... I go, never mind. Just go. Just...
It's a James Bond kind of thing. You had to be there.
Right. I don't know.
But yes. but we have this show about the Narcos on the Netflixes, and we're excited to talk about it, and it's because of you. And if you want to become a patron today, you can over at patreon.com/Jay and Jack. That's patreon.com/Jay and Jack. We have 121 patrons bringing in $688.05 a month. So thank you for everybody that does contribute. And we hope to have lots more. All right. So Action Jackson, are you ready to get into the thick of it here with Narcos?
I am so ready. Because I don't even know if you liked it or not.
I know. We'll have to wait and see, right?
It's going to be a surprise for all of us all at once.
So we have other sections like, is it binge-worthy? We will find out, is Narcos binge-worthy, according to Jack and I. We will have what's Fill Your Show Hole, which will be, what are we going to talk about next on Binge Watch with Jay and Jack? And we'll also have Rewatch, Rewind, Catch Up, and Rerun, where we'll be talking about, where are some side shows, some side pieces, some beautiful newswoman anchors that we will be... that we are watching alongside these shows that we are binging. All right, Jack, you ready to get things moving here?
I'm just guessing, since I suggested it, I'm going to probably think I said it's binge-worthy.
It's true. You suggested it.
I'm just guessing. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'd hope so. Otherwise, that'd be very messed up of you.
Since I already saw it before I said, hey, let's watch this.
Yeah.
Since I'd already seen it.
All right, so Narcos is an American, and this is the Wikipedia entry here, so I'm not claiming that I wrote this, but is an American crime thriller television series created and produced by Chris Brancato, Carlo Bernard, and Doug Miro. It's 10 episodes, aired August 28th as a Netflix exclusive. It's set and filmed in Colombia.
Wow.
And it tells the true story of notorious drug kingpin Pablo Escobar.
Pablo Escobar.
So what did you think about the show when you first watched it? What were your kind of feelings, sentiments, everything like that? You suggested it, so obviously, well, it appealed to you, but kind of what were you,
I kept seeing people talk about it on our Facebook page, and I just finished something. I was looking for something serious. You know, I like to get a little comedy in there, a little serious stuff going on. It's at the time I think I was watching Seinfeld. And I go from serious comedy. That's just how I roll. And so I kept saying, and I clicked on Netflix and I go, I might give this Narcos a try.
Yeah.
So I start watching it. It starts out with, gives a background of, I think, the history between, well, first it starts out, it shows you is it the last episode? They show the first scene from the last episode?
It's a later episode, basically.
Right. So you're like going, okay, this is supposed to be the good guy? And he goes, well, are we the good guy? So they kind of leave you hanging. Am I the good guy? Am I the bad guy? It's it's Steve Murphy's character.
Yep.
Stephen Murphy.
Yep.
And I'm like going, huh. Well, he must be a crooked cop or something in Colombia or something.
Yeah, and for those who know, Pablo Escobar is probably, well, he is the wealthiest, I wanted to say villain.
Alleged villain,
crime lord ever. He was at the time when he was, basically, he accounted for like 80% of cocaine going into the United States. His cocaine, 80%.
Hello, Florida.
He was worth a known $30 million, but actually, they said it was closer to $100 billion. And he was number 7 on the Forbes list. Like, published during his day, he was number 7.
He could have bought the Chargers.
He owns several football teams, soccer teams.
Right. Oh, he's a big soccer fan.
Big soccer fan.
And don't knock him down when you're playing soccer.
I mean, he seemed pretty cool about it.
The other guy's like, hey, what are you doing?
And then it's kind of following his story, but it's told through this kind of voice going throughout it, and that's Stephen Murphy,
right.
This gringo DEA agent.
Gringo DEA agent. But I at first, my first thought was like, all right, I'm into this. But you know, it has subtitles, and it's late at night. I'm reading. I go, and at first I'm like, oh god, okay, read. And I had to make the. Sometimes the print's small, so I have to kind of see at night. But once I really got into it, didn't even notice the subtitles. Didn't even pay. In fact, probably everyone does this. Like Pablo's voice was in, he was speaking, I was hearing Pablo's voice in English. I was, you know, all the Spanish speak, I was hearing that in my, if that makes sense.
No, and honestly, like, this is what I liked about it, is that most of it, if the characters spoke Spanish, they spoke Spanish. Where sometimes with movies or TV shows, they're set in, you know, Greece or something, but historical Greece, and they'll all speak, you know, British English, you know. So I really liked that it was in its native tongue.
Well, your mom watched Master
of None?
No, War and Peace.
War and Peace, okay.
On Lifetime Network, and it was British actors.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Russians and they're playing the French. I go, oh. So I'd watch some of it because I didn't watch the. She watched it when I was in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So I'd watch some of it. I go, wait, is he the Russian or is he the French guy? Yeah. Oh, he's the French. I go, huh. I go, oh, that's the Russian? But it was the Brit. They didn't even try it. They didn't even try and give the Russian accent.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, you're watching, you know, Hogan's Heroes. At least they're trying to give a German accent. But this is like,
Hogan.
It was, what is this man doing here? But it was driving me crazy. I go, all right, I'm just going to watch this. I'm be on my computer to kind of watch it. Cause I don't know. But no, they just were true to it. And it was, like I said, by the second episode, I'm not even paying attention to this. Because most of the episode is really subtitles. A lot of them, it's like probably 90% subtitles. And you don't, because some people go, oh, I don't want to read subtitles. It really didn't faze me.
It's not that bad.
It's a fast-paced show and a lot's going on and you're just into what's going on. If you're into the show, you're going to be fine with it. If it bores you, then don't even bother.
Well, I mean, and you kind of mentioned the actor who plays Pablo Escobar is Wagner Moura. He's Brazilian. And his performance was so good that, to your point, like, even though you're kind of reading subtitles when he's talking, like, I don't know. It's just like it didn't even like seem like I was reading and couldn't pay attention to his performance because his performance is the best part about this show.
Now, Brazilian, are they speaking Spanish or Portuguese?
Well, their native tongue is Portuguese, but maybe, well, since it's kind of there, the whole not knowing how to speak multiple languages is kind of just an American thing because we're stubborn. But in other places, like say you lived in Switzerland, you'd probably speak like four different languages. So maybe it's since just you're kind of there with other.
Just speak English. All right.
Okay, Trump.
Would that just be simple? Wouldn't that be simple for everyone?
No, English is a tough language. It's a stupid language.
If you're on The Amazing Race,
yeah,
it would be more convenient for everyone if you just spoke English.
Like just from a confusing standpoint, English is really stupid. In support of other people not wanting to learn English or not wanting to pick it up, I get it. I get where
I'm
you're coming
from. I'm just saying, as a selfish for being me being a selfish ugly American, just. Just
being
make it easier.
True to your American roots,
right? Yeah. Well, now that I'm 54% British, and not even more so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we should have just conquered the world back then, and life would have been so simple.
But awesome.
I'm kidding, of course.
Awesome performance by Wagner.
Oh, he was amazing.
Then we have Javier Pena, who is Steve's partner.
And did you recognize him right away?
Okay, I didn't, but to me it's just like, oh, it's a young Burt Reynolds. Why do I know this guy? Know this guy? What have I seen?
That's my Burt Reynolds laugh.
Where is he from? Just tell me.
You know, he does look like a young Burt Reynolds.
Oh my God, he's the guy from Game of Thrones.
You're just now realizing that?
I just found out right in my head. I was like, wait, that's him.
So I'm watching it. The first episode he's in, I'm like going, wait a minute. Where do I know this guy from? I go, all right, he does something crazy. He does something, and I don't want to spoil anyone, it's in Game of Thrones. But I'm like going, and then I finally done him, and I go, oh, stupid. Stupido.
The whole time I was just like, he looks like Burt Reynolds with the mustache and everything and the hair. He had full-on Burt Reynolds.
He definitely had that Burt Reynolds look to it, you know, smoking the bandit. All he needed was a little cowboy hat.
Again, for anybody that hasn't watched it yet, or maybe we did watch it, go back and watch it again. Because he looks just like Burt Reynolds in this.
Right.
But
and he's amazing in this.
Oh, he's great. He's fantastic.
The acting in this is fantastic. I can't remember there being a dog in the bunch.
I do have one caveat. I wasn't a big fan of Boyd Holbrook, Steve Murphy. That one was the one part that I didn't like as much.
You didn't like Steve Murphy?
It seemed, I don't know, like with performances like Wagner's and Pedro's, like everybody else was like, I kind of don't like this guy. Like, I don't.
Maybe because he didn't fit in, because he didn't speak English. He didn't speak Spanish right away. He didn't, you know.
I don't know.
That's what it was.
No, it's just maybe it is. Maybe it's just he seemed out of place with everything else.
Well, he didn't. He looks like an American, so he was
no,
the one.
I get that.
No, I'm saying the
from
one
a story standpoint, he seemed out of place.
Even Javier, he looked like he fit in. I mean, there was no mistaking this guy was an American.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that's what you're I liked his character.
But here's my thing, like that guy, they keep saying these gringos or whatever, you know, it's just like pasty white middle America redneck, you know, as Javier calls him in when he shoots the pigeon. But
and there's gonna be spoilers in this, by the way.
Yes, there is. We're gonna talk about the show. Like if I was like, and again, I get they explain why you can't kill a DEA agent, they tell that, but I'm just like, this guy would stick out like a sore thumb. Like, why? It seemed kind of implausible, even though I know this character did exist and everything like that. But
it's like when he first lands there, he's supposed to be a janitor and all that stuff, and they take his passport.
Yeah.
My first thought is that, because before we find out that you can't kill, I go, well, if that's that bad, just why don't they just kill him?
Yeah.
And I'm of course, I don't wish that to happen on anybody, but if I was
running this criminal organization, I'd be like, just kill him.
But then you find out that they can't kill him.
Yes, because that's when
the U.S. government would come down and go, "Well, you can't kill our guys."
Yeah,
we got rules. But it's like that scene in The West Wing where Bartlett's talking about the Roman Empire, and he goes, "You know, there used to be a time where Roma could travel anywhere in the world. If and they were hurt, the Roman Empire would come crashing down upon you." I always liked that scene in The West Wing.
And the other thing is just like his dialogue or his narration. I thought it, I don't know if it was that necessary. I liked it in the context of kind of explaining Pablo's backstory and how he came to be.
But I think it did a good job of setting it up where it kind of explained what was going on. It's like when they showed the whole how cocaine became a big part of American life. And, you know, you had Nancy Reagan saying, just say no.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't do drugs, because I grew up in that era. And, you know, when Nancy Reagan said...
You were like in your 20s during that.
I was 18.
In 84 or 5 when she did this Just Say No?
Was it that long? Okay, so I pretty much my parents raised me right, so I'd seen a lot of people. I've seen people.
If anybody said no, it would be me, because I grew up in the Dare, Just Say No.
Yeah, you were the Dare era. But no, she said, don't say no. 84. I'm 23, 24. That's when the cocaine was rolling in, right?
It's true.
So I just said no, and I never did it.
But your cocaine would have been from the Cali cartel, since they
the
had
Cali
LA,
cartel.
Or they're in LA possibly. But
yeah, it could have been it. But I never did the powder.
Cocaine, the cocaine.
Nose candy, never did. But no, I guess looking back on it now, we kind of laugh. I guess we kind of laughed then too, but. You know, they didn't know. I mean, they were doing what they thought was right.
Yeah. In context, the war on drugs is, you know, controversial by some.
Well, yeah, it is, because it's a never-ending losing battle.
Yeah. Anywho, I don't do drugs, but I'm not in support of the drug wars, because it just seems like a big waste of money. But it's kind of interesting with a show like Breaking Bad, where you kind of see this guy turn from a good guy to a bad guy, but you still kind of like root for him a little bit, but eventually you can't anymore. Where Pablo...
Oh, Pablo?
Pablo, did he have a similar type feeling? But I was like, I kind of like this guy. Like, I kind of...
Yeah, at first you kind of like him, because he started as a peasant. You know, he's just a poor little working guy. And he became this, you know, this most feared, powerful guy in Colombia. I mean, he was just it's amazing rags to riches story. Of course, he did it illegally, but it's just amazing, this empire, and he could walk the streets and nobody would even attempt to, you know,
he was a hero.
He was a hero. I mean, because he was smart. He gave money to the poor.
Yeah.
And people are just, you know, they're just the poor of the poor. I mean, they're just, and he gave money to them. And, you know, but he made some mistakes. He tried to get in the political ring and other things, and that hurt him.
Yep.
Because he was crossing a line that people at that point were like, okay, we know you're doing this.
Yeah.
We're okay with it. Now you're cutting into our territory.
Yeah.
And politics is a dirty business.
It is.
And
just
so,
as dirty as the drug trade.
It is. It's a legal dirty business.
Yes. But
that was probably his big mistake there, because they were willing to look the other way up until that point, but he had police, politicians. It's easy to get away with stuff when you know they're coming to get you.
Yeah.
You know, and the Americans' hands were tied too. They could only do so. I mean, they're in a foreign land. They could only do so much.
Yeah. But it's interesting how, like, the tide turned. Well, how it becomes forefront.
But when he got to the point where he was killing so many people,
yeah,
and so many innocent people, you know, it's kind of sad when you say, okay, these people in the drug gang. If you're in that business, you take a risk.
Yeah.
If you're choosing to take that business, you know,
live by the sword, die by the sword.
But when you're seeing people die that just happen to be standing there or get blown up or stuff like that, then you start going, okay, this guy's a bad guy. And I no longer, but I did. It was, that's a great analogy. I did like him at first.
Yeah.
He did have that kind of charisma and he just had a way about him.
Yeah.
But then it towards the end, I started hating him.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's a classic case, I think, of anybody that kind of gets power where he has all this power, all this money, so he wants more. Like, what more can you have? You have all the money in the world. Well, political power.
Well, they say most people, I mean, like anybody, we all want to make more money.
Yeah.
Yep. And they say, well, you have $1 billion. Well, I want to make more. I want to make more than that guy.
Yeah. Or you could be Kanye West and proclaim that you're $53 million in debt and you want Mark Zuckerberg to give you $1 billion.
Is that what that talk's been about?
Yes.
He tweeted
before his performance on Saturday Night Live out saying, I'm $53 million in debt. I'm trying to do this great stuff with music and I can't do it all by myself. Mark Zuckerberg, can you give me $1 billion?
I've been away.
It was similar to your plea to the drug cartels earlier in the podcast asking for their money.
Well, to be fair, I'm not $53 million in debt. If I had Kanye West's money, I wouldn't be asking anyone for money.
Yes.
Even being married and the struggle that would be, no, I'd be good with my money.
But it's a fascinating story, and that's why I think drives this show. I think it's the story of Pablo Escobar. I mean, he started the first ever cartel, drug cartel, the Medellin drug cartel. That was the first one. Like this,
what?
Like
he. For me, I knew a lot about it, but not this much.
I didn't know anything about it, so this was all new to me. Like I didn't even know.
I mean,
who Pablo
I knew
Escobar was.
I knew of him. I knew of this stuff because I, you know, growing up in that time, you hear the names and stuff like that. I didn't know all this stuff behind it. It's just how it, you know, how it interworking and how. Don't cross him. That's all I'm saying.
So it's 10 episodes long. The first two kind of go put a lot of stuff in, like almost like 10 years of story.
Right.
And then it starts to slow down. And it kind of gets to that 1989 point, which kind of starts out the show and then focuses on basically when he tries to go to Congress and then he gets denied because of a picture that he gets taken because he was kind of being cocky, for less of a better, word.
His ego's just gotten out. You know what? I just realized when I started hating him.
When was that?
When he sent that poor kid up who idolized him.
Yes, yeah, to blow up on
and to blow up the plane with the prime minister or the presidente on it, or the guy who was running, whatever he was. And then they go kill the wife and the.
Yep.
And they attempt to kill the baby.
Oh, my God. I was like, no!
I said, that kid idolized you, would have done anything for you, and you blow him up?
Take
you just used him like that?
Yeah.
And you lie to his man. That's why I said, Pablo, we're done.
We're I don't done want professionally.
I don't want your stinking money, Pablo. Just keep it to yourself. And if you're listening to the podcast, no, I'm kidding.
Well, he's dead, so.
I know, but I'm just saying.
So that it focuses on that, like the bombings.
Spoiler
that he
alert, there's a second season.
The plane that gets blown up. And then kind of closes out on La Catedral, or the prison that he made for himself.
That was pretty. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to put myself in a prison, but I'm building the prison.
Yep.
He got he was starting to get really paranoid though. Then.
Well, yeah, I think it's just like any time, it's like Hitler, right? Like Hitler's rise to power. Started out small, had the love of the people, and then started to abuse that, and then went way out of control, wanted everything, became really paranoid, and it's like that classic Icarus story of getting too close to the sun and then, you know, falling back down to earth. Like it's not an original story, but it's something that repeats itself in history all the time.
It does.
But again, so if there's knocks that I have on this one, it's a story we've heard before, right? I think like every mafia movie is kind of the same deal.
It is, but just about. But you can, you know, there's a lot of mafia movies that you go, and you, there, you know, there's
sure.
only so many,
but I
there's
think
only,
what
there's only so
it.
There's only many, say Godfathers, Goodfellas.
But again, I think what makes it better is the acting. Like everybody,
right?
Fantastic performances all around. Like Gustavo, I loved Gustavo, and then when they killed him, I was like, because like Gustavo was like at least had reason, and he also called Pablo on his BS.
Right. Well, he was the one guy Pablo couldn't, you know, he couldn't. They were almost equals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pablo needed him.
Yep.
To keep him grounded and such, but you know, he had a vice there. He was, you know, made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. He. Well, I mean, it's what's the downfall of man, right?
Yeah, it is.
His lust for women.
His lust for women. Latin lover.
But yeah, so that ended up getting him in the end. But and then it kind of closes out with. Him escaping that prison. So basically, it's like the 15-year kind of, because he it was like 1976 through that when he escaped was 1992, I think.
And he was they underestimate him too, because they first didn't think he was that smart.
Yeah,
but he was smart.
Oh yeah,
he was smarter than them. Like putting the tracking on a donkey, you know, they get there and go, ah, he fooled us again.
Well, then it kind of makes you think. It's one of those things that you can ask yourself, like, okay, if he was born into a different life, into a different place, into a different social status or whatever, like that mind
right.
being put in a more legitimate scenario, he could have been, you know, the CEO of a great company.
Right. Or he could have been the president of Colombia and done things the right way.
Yeah. But from where he was born, which is kind of poor from nothing, he had to choose a path, and he chose, you know, the path of a criminal, which is,
and it's a shame that he got into the, you know, just the slaughtering of people, because that turned people against him.
Yeah.
I mean, you could only kill so many people before it starts to go, people, okay, I've had enough.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You're killing me now. So
yeah, it's like, you know, I was okay. But you know, a lot of people benefited from the stuff that the money he was.
Oh yeah.
Giving
absolutely.
Out.
I mean, he built hospitals.
Right.
He built schools, orphanages,
yeah.
Bought, he owned several football teams.
Right.
Built football stadiums all over the place. Like, I mean, it's crazy. Like, where did I read it? About, it was a Medellin cartel. But 10% of the money that they brought in was lost each year to rats chewing on the money, the cash.
I didn't hear that. It was in like just
a
bit, so laying
like
around.
They had to store all this cash in places.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the part that was funny. It was so much cash was coming in, they could only launder so much.
Yeah. So they started burying it.
They started burying it. I'm like going, because it was it the one farmer that found it. Didn't they kill him?
They didn't kill the farmer. I think they killed the guy, the two people that were drug running for them.
Right.
And that's
right,
what brought people into the. Prison that he had.
Right. I was just going, man, it was big holes where they're just putting a lot. I mean, there's probably still money buried there somewhere.
So
I mean,
someone
has to keep track of that.
Absolutely. Well, so that's where they had Blackbeard. That was the guy that was.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So once they lost him, that's when they started. It became tougher. But during the height of its operations, the cartel brought in more than $60 million per day.
God.
Making roughly $22 billion in a year, smuggling 15 tons of cocaine per day, worth more than $500 million into the United States. The operation spent $1,000 per week purchasing rubber bands to wrap the stacks of cash.
Jeez.
Pablo Escobar said the essence of the cocaine business was simple. You bribe someone here, you bribe someone there, and you pay a friendly banker to help you bring the money back.
Right.
In 1989, Forbes magazine estimated that Escobar to be one of the 227 billionaires in the world with a personal net worth of close to $3 billion. It's crazy.
It was probably more than that.
I was just saying, so like, known $30 million, actually they think it's more around $100 billion. $100 billion. It's insane. Insane. But
it did. But you know, you look at what happened to the people that got hooked on that stuff and got, you know, their lives were ruined. So I mean, you look at the violence that happened in Florida and the drug, you know, all that, especially Florida, Colombia, and it just, a lot of people died making that stuff.
Yep.
It's almost like I'm against people using it. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone I know to use it, but almost like, okay, like you're saying, drug war on drugs, we give up.
Just, well, that's just it, right? Like, so the fighting with that, but the war between the cartel and the states and the Colombia itself, like, even the president, I can't remember his name now, off the top of my head, but he made that call eventually. He's like, all right, yes, we could keep fighting this, but how many more people have to die because these things are bombing? And I was like, we're done. That's when he kind of gave in to let him build this prison.
Like when they kidnapped the former, it's a news anchor, but it was former
president's daughter.
Former president's daughter, and she got accidentally shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
That was another time you go, yeah, she didn't deserve to die, Pablo. No. Come on.
Was that Pablo's fault or the government for trying to?
No, it's Pablo kidnapped her.
True.
So they were trying to rescue her,
mm-hmm.
but it just didn't work out.
Cesar Gavira. I'm trying to do my best Pablo impression. but anywho. And then it kind of closes out with there. Now, here's the thing. So that was, like, this season covered, like, 15 years or so. So a lot of stuff. Even so, it wasn't, I mean, there had action, but it wasn't like boom, 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 boom. Like,
it was storytelling.
A lot of storytelling. So it might be slow for some people, but if you're binging it, it does go by fairly quick. But the season two is confirmed.
Yes.
But here's the thing, like, it might only be two seasons. I thought it would just be one season because after and spoiler alert, I mean, it's kind of well known, but after season two, or after he escapes the prison, it's basically like another year that he's on the run and then he gets killed. So yeah.
Well, that's probably what will be happening is I can't imagine. I hope they don't drag it out to a third year because what could I mean, like you said, 15 years, season one. You're going to drag season three into a whole nother, you know, third season.
Yeah. So that's where, the producers have confirmed that he will die at the end of season two or in season two.
And our good friend Eric Lang is joining the show.
Oh, that's exciting. Maybe we'll have him on the show to talk about it.
There we go. We should do that.
So it's about 18 months from when he fled the prison, to the escape of his death. So, season two could be the last, or they focus on a different, person, like, because the Cali cartel kind of rises to prominence after the Medellin cartel goes down. But again,
it depends on how interesting the story is.
Yeah, exactly.
This one was just a fascinating story, so you want to obviously you don't want to have a conclusion.
Yep.
But we'll see.
We will see. So yeah, it's. It's a good story. The acting's fantastic. I think the only knocks I would give it is that it's a story that's kind of been told before. Like, the story's not that original. But I kind of like that it is true. It's based on true story, relatively. Like, the stuff with the news reporter I don't think was quite as accurate because I think they only had an affair from, like, 83 to 87. And it seemed like she was still along for the ride a lot longer than in the show. But overall, I like how they kind of intersperse clips from the actual Pablo.
Yes, that was another thing I liked too, because, you know, you're like, oh, wait, that's the real guy.
Yeah, this is real. This is a real thing.
Yeah, I think that's what they were trying to tell you. This is real.
Yeah, yeah. So in the on the whole... why don't we go to, before we get to fill your show hole, let's go to, is it binge-worthy? Jack, do you feel Narcos is a binge-worthy show?
No, not at all.
No?
No, I do. I picked it. I said yes.
I know you picked it.
I watched it in like a week.
I watched it in a week, too. Like I said, it's definitely bingeable. It's not for everybody. Colleen watched the episode one, and she bowed out after that. She didn't like it.
She doesn't like the Godfather type shows, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's very much in that vein of criminal bosses rising from nothing to greatness and, you know, then coming back, crashing back down to earth. So if that's not your thing, you may not like it. But if you do enjoy things like The Godfather and Goodfellas and... is there any other things that could relate to this? But well,
I'm trying to think.
There's a lot of.
I'm trying to think of something that's not gangster-like, but it's very violent.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie to people. I'm not gonna candy coat it. It's violent.
It's a HBO caliber sex and violence.
Well, yeah.
Not Game of Thrones sex and violence.
No. It's not that bad. But there's some scenes that are graphic.
It's fairly graphic.
You know, if you have young kids, you don't want to watch it with your kids around.
No. But on the whole, I would say it is binge-worthy. But it's not. I wouldn't say it's like universally binge-worthy.
No, because you could watch, say, like our first one with Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
That's more of because it has the mystery and you know everyone likes a good crime story.
Yeah.
And we're all conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. So I think that's where this one to me, I'd watch this one again before I watch Making of a Murderer.
Yeah, I think Making a Murderer is more of an event.
Right.
And then this one's more of like a show.
Yeah, I got it. I got this. Yeah, I got Making a Murderer. This one is like, I could watch this again. I'm sure there's stuff I missed.
And then do you feel like, where do you think it could go with season two? Because that's the big thing I have is like, this season was good. It's 15 years worth of content. Like, will this second season seem really slow because of the stretch out a year, essentially? And he's on the run. Like, how much is there left to be if he's on the run?
Unless there's inner workings behind, you know, what's happening in Colombia, the leadership there, what's happening in America. I don't know. I mean, I was kind of, like I said, when I got to the, wait, there's no more? That's it? I really was like, all right, when do I have to wait for season two? There's another season? Oh, come on. I was really... It's one of those, like, you know, you want to see the next one. I want to see the next one, but now you got to wait. I don't know where they're going to go with it. I said, obviously, maybe they, in the episode two or three, maybe they catch them like third or fourth episode. And then they
kill them that early.
Kill them, yeah. And then they move on to the next, maybe they, till they get to season three, they start the next story. Or maybe they start the next story as they're intertwining it.
Here's my question. Do you think there should be a season three?
It depends on how fascinating the next story is. It's going to be tough to top Pablo's story.
Again, I think it's like, to me...
You're talking about the whole cocaine explosion in America and all that stuff. And
which I think is cool. And I mean, it's cool to see that. But to me, it's like Wagner Mora's Pablo Escobar is like why you watch the show.
Right. And so it
his
gets to the
portrayal of that person.
I'm just saying, I don't know how they... It's a mistake a lot of shows make. We can go. We can talk about Homeland, where
True Detective is a recent
True Detective. Maybe you didn't. I didn't hate True Detective, but a lot of people did. It wasn't as good as season one, but like Homeland, yeah, they should have stopped that storyline at season two.
Yeah,
and moved on to a different one. Season three, they really hurt them. Even though it's come back to be a pretty good show, four and five, but that season three was terrible,
brutal.
But a lot of shows make that mistake because the producers and people, you know, like Netflix is like going, okay, we're getting more subscribers. Give us another season. We'll give you more money. Give us another season. And you know, it's hard. Like we're just saying it's hard to turn down money.
Yeah.
If someone's going to give you money and these people may never do anything like this again.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot goes in behind the scenes is, well, do you think you can like The Good Wife is stopping. And my wife and all these people who love The Good Wife are all upset. Because I go, well, maybe she doesn't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, doing that grind, it's 7 years of every day and the writers having to come up with something new every day.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
As a writer, I understand that. So, no, it's tough to come up with different ideas and keep the, even though it's based on real life, you still have to keep it interesting. I mean, you could make a story about my life and it would probably be over in 20 seconds because it's not that interesting. I mean, you just got to have something. Oh, Jack woke up today. Jack went to work. Jack came home. I mean, there's no drama there. So you have to have,
well,
I mean,
depends.
I'm sure,
like if we got a good actor to play your life
maybe,
story,
maybe
could
that's
be.
True. Maybe we'll play, maybe Brad Pitt to pay me, play me.
No.
No?
Because he still has his hair. I was thinking more of like a...
Well, he, he could be a bus. I'm saying from younger to old. What was that show where he went from old to young?
Benjamin Button.
But he just does it the opposite.
Yeah, just he lives a normal life. Is what you're saying? Doesn't go backwards.
Exactly. life was rough during when he was in his 30s. So.
I'm just saying.
There's just not everybody has a fascinating life.
Exactly. So that's just. So what do you think?
I mean, I'm just being honest. There's no way I
would
have
say
a
end it season two. Just don't try to make something.
I like to see shows go out on top. I hate to hate watch like I did with Sons of Anarchy. I gave up on that towards the end. Dexter. Oh my God. I went to all of that. That's my number one. I went the distance with that show, and it was at one point probably one of the best shows on TV to being, what are you doing?
To being absolute garbage.
Yeah. At some point you have to say, stop.
Yeah.
This is not working. But sometimes the money, and if there's not another job, then this is your job. What do you do? I don't know these people. I don't know who's behind it. I don't know any of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of actors might say, yeah, I'm good.
And that's where I would say end it at season two, because personally, like the, I'm forgetting his name now, the Steve Murphy.
Yeah.
It's pretty boring. So I wouldn't want to
follow
his story.
That's his character.
I get it, but like he kind of just turned into a total a-hole towards the end.
Because look what he had gone through.
I get it, but you have Javier Pena there. You know, he's going around. He hooks up with a few hookers every now and then.
But Javier has a release. He's having, you know, he's got a little tension release there. So or Steven's got, he's got a kid at home. He's got the stress. They killed his cat.
Was it his cat, like, or was it his wife's cat? Cat.
It's kind of like both, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure on being there. Plus, he's sicked out like a sore thumb, right?
Yeah,
He's got that 80s mustache going on, which has to be painful.
Well, they have mustaches. Like, Pablo has a mustache. Javier has a mustache. Steve Murphy has a mustache.
I guess you had to have one in the 80s.
Did you? You never had a mustache, did you?
No, never had a mustache. Nope. Maybe it came on cool when I could finally grow one.
Ah, okay.
It was whatever is on my top of my forehead, the middle of my head is around where my mustache would be. I have the same follicle challenge, whatever it is.
You're follically challenged.
Follically challenged there and the top of my head.
Gotcha.
I can grow a beard. It grows fast.
So, but you at least are true to your Amish roots, so you grow like
exactly.
The Amish beard, which is the
mustache,
but the
call me Herschel or Jebediah, whatever you want to call me.
And so with that, that's why I would say in season two. But you're saying it could be season three if they have a good story.
Well, it's not up to me, but if it's terrible, don't ruin your legacy. It's like Leftovers. How we said, you know, we talked about Leftovers. I go, you know, I'm to the point where I'm a little gun shy. If I'm Damon Lindelof, I'm like going, okay, I took some heat. I like Lost. You like Lost, the end of Lost. Most people did.
I think
did.
A lot of people liked Lost.
It's the people that didn't scream the loudest.
Yeah.
You know, they make the biggest fuss. Well, you know, I would agree. Yeah, I'm good. We can end it here. Because I'm a coward. I don't know. I don't know these
people. And you want Brad Pitt to play you in your autobiography.
Well, he can be a coward.
I don't know.
Oh, Brad Pitt's taller than me, so I need to find someone more my size, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll work it out.
Sure.
We'll work it out. Again, if they can get a story, fine. If they can't, end it. I think they're going to have trouble topping season two. I mean, season one.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's where it's just season two, I think, could be... It'll be tough.
I mean, House of Cards, I thought this last season was not its best. It was still good because of the acting. But it wasn't its best.
Yeah.
But I still watched it. Still liked it.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Actually, no, you could play you. I think it would be Paul Giamatti. I think that might be...
Actually, good. You know, that's not a bad... And he's a great actor. So, Paul Giamatti... All right, we'll get on the phone. But did he ever have hair?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think Paul has always been...
Let me Google it. Paul Giamatti with hair.
You know who his dad is, don't you? Or his dad was.
No.
Bart Giamatti.
Who's that?
The commissioner of baseball who suspended...
Oh, that's... I knew that.
That's
I knew it. Sorry.
I did not know that in this house. Man!
Let's see. I'm looking up Paul Giamatti with hair on Google.
Paul Giamatti. Hey, while you're doing that, I was thinking the other day.
Yeah.
Think about all the violence in the world, and you have wars and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If there were no wars ever, and there was no violence, and there was no murderers, and no...
All right, John Lennon.
Well, I'm just saying, what would be on TV and what would the movies be about?
It's a good question, right? If there would be no struggle, what would be the...
Because I see people on Twitter all the time, you know, I'm this, but their favorite shows are like the 100 or their Game of Thrones.
Would what we prefer kind of change because... Like, that's where, like, science fiction, a lot of those, like, post-apocalyptic, like, we fear that happening one day. So that's why there's, like, this interest to watch that show.
But World War II, I don't know anybody that wished World War II would have happened.
Absolutely.
But I enjoy watching World War II movies.
Well, because, again, you have the context of, wow, these brave people went out there and, you know, sacrificed their lives to stop truly a evil force
right.
in the world.
But you
can't say that about a lot of wars.
No, you can't.
But this one definitely was like, okay.
That was one that had to be fought, unfortunately.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, if there was no wars, if people just said, hey, and you could leave your doors unlocked,
mm-hmm.
and you could do all this stuff, what would we... I mean, I started thinking about all the TV shows that are on.
You have a lot of comedies, I guess.
Well, you're super.
You would still have like internal strife, you know.
But if you didn't have that, what if everybody was just, "How's it going, Fred?"
But I don't think you could have
say
that, right?
Everything you didn't see Ozzie and Harriet, but everything was just Ozzie and Harriet. Everything was Leave It to Beaver. That there was just nothing wrong in the world.
Those were in the 50s, mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of bad stuff going on in the 50s.
But they had shows like The Untouchables. They had violent shows.
Yeah,
about violence. I'm just saying, if there was no violence, none. Ever, what would be on? Because if you look at TV today, Breaking Bad, story about drugs and people died.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. So I think it's human nature, or at least for some, there's like this proclivity for violence.
I'm trying to be philosophical. What if there was none of it?
Well, then you would have a fairly utopic world, but. But maybe you wouldn't have TV because you would be frolicking with the unicorns in the meadows.
You look at this, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Nasty people, but they're funny.
Yeah.
But what if there was no nasty people? Then that show would be boring. Seinfeld, they were pretty nasty.
Would that even be the human race at that point, right? Because humans are flawed.
But what would we watch? I'm looking at my Good and the Bad and the Ugly poster.
You wouldn't watch anything.
If there's no gunfights,
you would
there'd be
music.
No westerns.
You would swim in the ocean. You would, I don't know.
Well, okay, then if the sharks don't eat people, there'd be no Jaws.
Exactly.
So
they say maybe movies don't exist at that point.
There's no violence in the world. There's no nothing. There's no plays.
I mean, there'd be a play, but it won't be about, you know.
I mean, you'd have no country music.
Well, no,
right?
Okay, here's the thing. Even if you had everybody, you'd never break anybody's heart. But here's the thing. You would, because say two people liked you, you couldn't be with both of them.
But no, that just doesn't work. Everybody likes each other. It's just, hey, we understand.
But you can only be with one. Well, again, I guess if you're in an open relationship.
If different worlds, like, you know what? I understand. No problem. You don't write a song. I understood. I mean, it just wouldn't work. There would be no breaking the heart because you understand.
So closing out Narcos.
You don't have an answer for me, do you?
Because it's just like it's not even an answerable question.
But you look at even every show, right? Every movie now is a superhero movie. Why do we need superheroes? Because there's bad guys out there.
Absolutely.
So if there were no bad guys out there, there'd be no
eternal struggle between dark and light.
No Iron Man.
Hold on. The eternal struggle between dark and light has been since the beginning. So,
but if there wasn't, what if Eve didn't take that apple?
Then would we even exist?
What if she would have went for a pear?
Well, I mean, it said it wasn't an apple. It just said a fruit. So there's a lot of assumption that it was that. Or that it was an apple, when in fact it was more than likely a pomegranate. But
a pomegranate. Well, then that explains it.
But that's the thought. There, nobody knows what the fruit actually was.
Anyway, did you ever find Paul Giamatti with hair?
No, he's been kind of perpetually, but he has like a little bit of hair on the top, more than you. But I think he.
Well,
like,
I think to be fair, because he's on Billions, which I'm still watching and enjoying, by the way. You saw Vinyl came out yesterday.
I did. I haven't watched it, but I saw it.
I haven't watched it yet either, because people are still asking for a podcast about it.
I watched the new John Oliver, which was good. It was a good time.
I didn't watch that, no.
But anywho. All right. So next up is, what are we going to fill our show hole with? So now we have this void. We have finished Narcos. You have finished Narcos. And what are we going to watch next? So we have a couple of things coming up here. One big thing coming up. We have House of Cards, March 4th.
I'm all in.
Very excited about that.
You missed my joke.
Oh, you're all in House of Cards.
House of Cards. I'm all in.
Would this perfect world be without your bad punny jokes?
Well, see, then in a perfect world, people would go, Jack, I found that very entertaining. there wouldn't be this guy going, that wasn't funny.
But in the interest of not waiting another month to do another podcast, we want to do one in between. I think we have a good show here to watch. One that's very popular, actually won a couple Golden Globes, I think. And that is Mr. Robot, the USA series.
I watched the first 30 minutes of it, paused it, and then someone erased it.
Ooh, ouch. Well, luckily for you, it is up on usanetwork.com to catch up, so you can binge full episodes. Right now, you can go to usanetwork.com/Mr. Robot, one word, /catch-up. And that's not the condiment. It's C-A-T-H.
Notice I didn't say mustard.
No. But regardless, we are going to be watching that over the next 2 weeks.
So we'll have until 2 weeks. What are we looking at? March.
That week of the 4th, actually. So we'll be probably doing it the 1st or the 2nd of March, probably. And then next up would be House of Cards, which will get released on March 4th. And then we'll do a podcast about that too.
That's coming out already March 4th?
March 4th.
Wow.
Ta-da! So that is what's coming up.
Do you like the theme song to House of Cards?
Oh, love it.
Yeah. That one I'll watch. I like that theme song.
I like the one for Narcos. I put this full song.
Yeah, I like that one also.
Boom, do, do, boo, boo, doo. But that'll be there. So that is what we will fill our show hole. All right. So, Action Jackson, what have you been rewatching, rewinding, rerunning, and catching up on?
I'm still behind on Arrow. I am the worst at Arrow. Even though, did you see the little video he made for San Diego?
Yes, it was great.
Yes. I guess, well, a guy on a local sports guy sent him a thing saying, hey, it'd be nice if you sent Spanos a note. He did.
He's a cool guy. Colleen met him last year, and I think she left me for him.
I think she did.
Back since.
Well, you guys are kind of built the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, so, you definitely could be his double.
Right? I think so.
Him or whatever it is. but I haven't finished.
I missed before shots.
Exactly. Let's see. Seinfeld, I'm not finished yet. I haven't watched the final episode yet.
Whoa. So is this like one of the situations where you're like saving it because you don't want it to be over?
I don't want it to be over, even though I could watch it all over again. I don't want it to be over again. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm caught up on... I'm behind on Blue Bloods. I'm just falling behind on a lot of shows. Flash, I'm caught up on. Flash, there's some shows I go, I have to watch it. Because it's almost, I don't know if you get to the point where if you go, well, I missed a week. Well, I can watch it next. And now I'm 3-4 episodes behind. You get like that?
Yeah, that's, but that's just kind of nice, because then you can kind of do a quick, a small binge through those shows.
Well, that's why I'm on Blue Bloods. Okay, I can get it. So I keep up on Hawaii 5-0, even though I haven't watched last week's Hawaii 5-0. It's just, I'm busy. There's so much going on.
I've been that way with the comedies lately, so I caught back up again with Grindr.
Oh, Grindr's hilarious.
You know, the Goldbergs.
Did you finally watch the episode of Goldbergs?
Oh, yeah. The one where he's trying to get in trouble or wanting him to get in trouble.
Yeah. That's you.
I know. I know. It's me.
You're Adam Goldberg. You are Adam Goldberg.
Or maybe I'm just a prototypical nerd, you know?
You had the Adam Goldberg voice. We had to tell you to get in trouble.
And I still didn't get in trouble. I refused to.
Just do something. Skip school. Well, can you give me a note? No, I'm not giving you a note. I'm not giving you a note. That was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was like senior skip day or something like that.
It's called senior ditch day. For me was whenever I wanted. But but you go, no, I'm not going to go, will you give me a, I go, no, you're going to just ditch the class. You're just going to, you're going to leave. Go do something. Go with your friends and do something.
I don't have any friends.
I'm encouraging you not to go to school. And you were like, did you ever, I don't think you did you?
No, I think I did. I feel like I did.
I don't think he did. And people are at home going, why would you tell your kid to do that? Because rules. I'm not saying like do drugs or anything like that, but sometimes it's okay to, you know, skip school. And I did see Porky's, by the way, in the theater. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. I don't think I've ever seen Porky's.
You've never seen Porky's?
No.
Jay, get in trouble. I
do like the part. I like
where his two friends are talking. Dave Kim and the other guy are talking about the girls in there. He goes, I know that girl that played Annie, and Carol Burnett's in it. Carol Burnett. And I love Carol Burnett. Let's see. I'm trying to think of other shows I'm watching, but
I'm catching up on this season of It's Always Sunny, which is pretty good.
Is it the 11th season?
Is it? I don't know.
I'm on the third. I'm only on the third season.
You're only on the third season? What are you doing?
Well, I watch a comedy, watch a drama. Because I'm catching up on Shameless.
Ah, okay.
I'm only one episode behind now. That's a really good show. The dad on that show, played by William Macy. Worst
Isn't
dad ever.
William H. Macy?
William H. Macy. If you're listening, William, sorry. You play the worst dad ever.
Really?
Seriously. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He's seriously the worst dad ever.
Wouldn't Pablo Escobar be the worst dad ever?
No. Pablo at least cared about his kids. This guy.
His Frank, son's still alive, actually.
Frank cares nothing about his kids. He cares nothing about anything but himself. I'm telling you, worst dad ever.
His son is still alive. Sebastian Marroquin, he changed his name.
Well, I wonder why he changed his name.
But he still actually gets money from, because he owns the rights of his father's name and likeness.
Oh, really?
But he did a documentary called The Sins of My Father, and he apologized to the sons of victims his late father ordered assassinated during a decade of terrorizing Colombia.
Well, how long did that take him?
Probably a while.
And name number 7,558. Sorry. I'm making light of it, but there were a lot of people died. What else are you watching?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. Oh, we have HGTV again, so we're watching a lot of like the Love It or List It's.
Yeah, you're wrong.
House Hunters, and there's another show called Fixer Upper. That we like because the two hosts are entertaining.
Your mom was watching a show the other day, Fixer Upper, and one of the shows. And is that the with the guy and the girl, the married couple?
The married couple from Texas.
Oh, I can't stand her designs.
You don't like her designs?
She's at that artsy. I mean, sometimes I like it, but she puts that stuff on the wall. Sometimes I go, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you. And I'd rip it down. And she moved out. But so, lately she's been better.
Well, with the thing is like with Love It or List It here in Raleigh, North Carolina, or in the Triangle at least, like I feel like I need to find an excuse for them to come renovate my house for a lot cheaper. Because that's the bit of the show. Like, those renovations, what they say the budget's for, it would be more than that. People complain about that. But since they do all the contracting and everything, it turns out cheaper. So
yeah, that's why it's so cheap. Because your mom will sit. I told your mom, said she watches the Property Brothers and stuff like that. She goes, well, they could do it in 5 weeks, and there's only two or three of them. I go, no, there's two or three people you see. There's a whole crew doing the plumbing, a whole crew doing the electrical, a whole crew doing this. I go, there's me, and there's you telling me how to do it.
You could do it like this.
You ever watch the show with the husband and wife? It's the blonde woman and the guy. He had cancer in his throat, and a viewer saw it.
Yes,
it saved his life.
It was on his neck, I think.
On his neck, and she was a nurse or something. Noticed it. I love that show, but they always go, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." It's like it's like every episode.
Well, there's a setback to the.
There's a setback every single time. Oh, you mean it's rotted inside? Didn't see that coming. How did you buy these houses that are dives? How did you not see that coming?
That's probably part of it, right? Like even with Love It or List, there's always like that thing that has like, well, I got it now. I can't do the bathroom that you wanted me to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because then they go, what do you mean you can't do it? That's a deal breaker. You got
to
be.
Yeah, just like, you guys are such a jerk to Hillary here. She's just working her butt off trying to get you a nice place.
I like the realtor though. Come on, this is better than anything she's gonna do.
But they're great. They play off each other well.
They have the one person that is on Hillary's side. The one person wants to stay.
Yeah,
I'm always like going, I'm leaving.
Well, depends. Some of them, like a lot of the North Carolina ones, because we watched all of the North Carolina ones. Like I was like, man, no, a lot of these houses, I'd stay. And some are like, why the hell are you staying here? This house is too small.
It was too small before, and it's too small now.
Yeah,
but we couldn't give you the bet. But you know what? We made this garage bigger. But there's a show on where your mom was watching where it's like bathroom remodeled or something like that. And they had this guy on, a guy and girl on there, and he's doing construction with the dad's helping out. And this guy he got hit in the nose with something. I'm thinking, and they're like, I'm thinking he's lost an eye. He did something bad. It's like a little cut on his, and I'm sure it hurt, but little cut on the bridge of his nose. He's got an ice pack on. He's like, we got to be done for the day.
Oh, we just watched that one. Renovations.
Yeah, it was on yesterday. And then the next day they're kicking out a wall.
Yeah, he gets a nail.
And you see his dad's look. His dad just looks and goes, just puts his head down, and just walks away, going, you know what he's thinking? Dude, you're on national TV. Suck it up.
He goes, he's also an idiot. Why is he wearing like a rubber soled shoe without work boots? Like, what are you doing?
I could see. Like, I got hit with a hockey puck the other day in my hand. I got it tore off my skin.
Yeah.
Luckily, it hit where it did and not a couple of inches up. Probably would have broke my hand. And I yelled out a word I probably shouldn't have yelled out.
Uh-huh.
And MF.
Yeah.
But I stayed in the game and I was bleeding. I was ticked off and mad. That's how you handle it.
Yes.
I'm sure the nail hurt in the heel going in there like that. I'm thinking the nail was still stuck in his heel the way he was acting. I go, dude, man, your man card, turn it in.
Yeah, yeah. And the wife or fiance was annoying too. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, they get some annoying people on there sometimes.
I was like, why do you want gold everything? What's your problem? Why do you need gold?
Yeah, it's like it looks cheap.
Yes.
And he was even like, I don't like it. Oh, I like it. Look at the finishing. That's like that's every apartment's fireplace. What are you talking about? But I hate when they pick out something I don't like. I'm like going, oh, why would you do that? Yeah. But then sometimes I go, ooh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
But there's one
it does give you ideas, but
do you watch there's one that we like. It's called it's House Hunters but Tiny Houses. Have you watched that at all?
Oh yeah, your mom loves that tiny house thing. Even though she'd never live in a tiny house because they're too she's claustrophobic.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for her. But like I was like, man, we could like buy some land near the ocean and get like a little cottage there. That'd be so cool. But
they have these people. They have like five people that live in they had one was like a 3,400 square foot house they lived in. They moved into a 400 and something square. I go, how does that happen?
Yeah.
Five people? I mean, if I was by myself.
That's just like a lot of it had to be like by yourself. Like
I'd have to do it by myself.
Yeah.
But the couple in Texas, they work well together. The couple.
Yes, they do.
The Texas. But the houses always start out looking the same. It's like they get the same house. It's like every house in Texas is the same.
But you know, that's kind of the problem. Like even in, say, Southern California, it's like
they're all the same ranches, those ranch
style homes built in, like the house that you lived in. It's like a billion of those homes. If you're gonna do an older home renovation, that's probably
they just flipped them around.
Yeah.
I think our block, the neighborhood I grew in, had like four designs. And that was it. And that, but they've changed over the years. People have, you know, my parents changed the outside of their house, and people, they've changed it and added two stories. Other people have added two stories and stuff, a second floor. But the one in Texas, they did take one. It was like a, was it the one was like $10,000? The house was all, it was like a, the house was built in like 1900. And I do like the part where they do, they use the wood.
The reclaimed wood.
Reclaimed wood and stuff like that. She does a good job with that, but she's been better this season. But there were some things last time I go, what is that thing on the wall with the dried flowers? And I go, because there's a lady that does
maybe
the
it's
kitchen.
A Texas thing. Maybe it's a Texas thing.
I don't know.
You don't understand. It's a Texas thing.
There's a lady that does something with kitchens too. And she goes, and she always has the woman doing some craft thing to put on the wall. I go, oh, this is great. I go, that's a pile of crap. What are you talking about? Can't we just get a poster or a painting or something like that?
Oh, man.
Maybe I'm just not seeing the big picture.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
But any other show? Your mom watches those. Probably she watches that every day.
Yeah, well, we have the app now on the Apple TV, so we kind of will do one when we're kind of just sitting around. But no, that's about it right now. Getting ready to gear up for Mr. Robot, which I'm excited about. A lot of friends of mine have been saying you got to watch the show. So I'm excited.
Have you tried the 100 yet?
No, it's not. I don't have anything against it. It's just it's not. It's a. There's more seasons of that, so that's more of an investment.
But
might
it's
be
only,
a summer watch.
I think the first season's only like 13 episodes.
How many seasons are there? There's like three seasons, isn't there?
Well, it's this third season just started.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
it's a show I like,
and I wouldn't you like it.
CW show, another CW show, and I'm way out of the age demographic. Do you ever watch The Flash?
Yeah, I watched the first few with Colleen, but never
got into it.
It's just, it's not that it's bad, it's just, it's hard to keep up with. Same with Arrow, like, I think I'm season three of Arrow.
I'm on season three of Arrow, midway through season three.
Yeah, just maybe start or finish season two.
See, problem with Arrow is I've had the problem with Flash is they have crossover episodes.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that's happening?
Yep.
Oh, season four? Sorry, I'm not up there yet. Thanks for this warning.
Spoiler alert. But yeah. All right. Well, that is rewatch, rewind, catch up, and rerun. I think those are the four things we say.
Now you have the feedback.
Now it is feedback. We have an email that was sent in about making a murderer. So that was the first binge watch that we had. And this is a response. We had Scott, a lawyer friend of ours, that came on and talked about it. We also had... John, a lot of things in law enforcement, but was also a detective, kind of giving his insight.
Is he really in law enforcement?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Well, he's like a famous guy now in his local town. I don't know if you saw, but he like chased down a bad guy and he's like on the news. And
I saw that, but did he end up getting a cut and have to get a Hello Kitty bandage? I still love that one because like, I just thought it was funny.
But anywho, let's get into it here. Hey, Jay and Jack, my name is Brian. I'm a longtime listener. I'm a criminal defense attorney and have 19 years experience. So Scott was at least gearing to be a prosecutor. So that was his background. So now we're getting the perspective of a criminal defense attorney. I have taught criminal law issues for the Kentucky Bar Association and nationally. This year, I'll be joining the faculty of the National Criminal Defense College, of which Dean Strang is a member. I heart Dean Strang. In Macon, Georgia, and the Clarence Darrow Death Penalty Institute in Iowa. I have tried death penalty cases and a number of murder cases in my career. Three of my cases have resulted in Supreme Court of Kentucky changes in criminal law on behalf of my clients and other defendants. So,
wow.
Definitely has a pretty strong resume. Makes me feel good that he's listening to the show in case we
I watched LA Law.
But in case we ever need some good lawyering, we'll reach out to you, Brian.
You planning on committing a crime?
No, just in case.
That's when you were younger. Don't do it now.
You know, hey, looking, hey, did Stephen Avery kill anybody? We don't know. So if he didn't do it, then
he's in jail.
He was. Anywho, so in regards to Scott's comments, according to the American Bar Association guidelines governing prosecutors, prosecutors have a duty to do justice, not just win convictions. They represent the state and the state's interest in seeking justice, not convicting innocent people or perpetuating police misconduct. Number two, prosecutors are reasonable or responsible for Brady information. Information favorable to the defendant in possession of the cops, as they are all agents of the state, and the prosecutor is the individual representing the state. Number three, prosecutors have a duty to not make pre-trial statements that might prejudice an individual's right to a fair trial. I believe Ken Kratz violated his ethical duties in a desire to win in regards to comments about the defense. Selecting a jury is about getting rid of the worst jurors. You don't get to pick the jurors you want. This is subject to the prosecutor also having the right to strike jurors, which may be favorable to the defense. In a high-profile case like this, I can't imagine there were many jurors favorable to Stephen Avery in any case. In regards to John's comments about Gregory Allen's DNA cross-contaminating at the lab, and as to the reason why Stephen may have been exonerated in the first case, he's missing that if Stephen Avery or another DNA was there before the sample was exposed in the lab to be cross-contaminated, there would be a mixture of DNA found. Or, if we assume the sample was blank and was then contaminated by Allen's DNA, this would still point to a lack of DNA evidence against Stephen Avery. There is no mixture of DNA, only the presence of Gregory Allen. I would also submit that in my career, I have never seen an evidence vial with a puncture mark and the evidence tape broken and not resealed. This is, at a minimum, a breach of all known evidence protocol, but sure looks like something much more sinister. In regards to other questions about the defense strategy in this case, I believe Dean and Jerry did an outstanding job. It's hard to win when the rules are bent against your client. Think about the rules broken or bent. Number one, Manitowoc police officers or Manitowoc officers violate the conflict of interest search area protocols time and again and find all the key evidence. The evidence is allowed in at the trial. Two, civilian searchers are allowed onto a close crime scene. Three, the DNA lab breaks its protocols that are used to verify scientific testing, yet say in this case it's okay to break their own rules, and the evidence is admitted at the trial. Number four, the FBI develops a new test and rushes its timeline to fit the needs of this one case. Number five, the officers don't properly sign in and out of evidence area log sheets at the crime scene. The evidence they gather is ruled admissible. It's hard to say this amount of rule bending isn't highly unusual. As it relates to not blaming anyone but the police, Wisconsin has a third party liability law that doesn't allow defendants to name alternative suspects in their defense. This law severely hampered the defense in showing the alternative perpetrators that the police ignored or failed to fully investigate. Naming a real person is much more compelling than to say there might be someone else who did it. I wrap by saying that I believe the focus on Stephen before or his girlfriend is a much ado about nothing. There's a reason your past isn't allowed in any trial. It's an unfair and unreliable indicator of whether you've committed the crime for which you now stand trial. All jail calls are recorded and mail is monitored. If he threatened her from jail, I find it hard to believe they wouldn't have saved that call or mail in light of all the attention that they paid to him already. Brendan Dassey was clearly coerced, and we all agree he should get a new trial. I sincerely hope that Making a Murderer continues to open a dialogue that encourages people to learn more about the criminal justice system. Most people write these issues off believing it will never happen to them. In many places, if you have no money, you're screwed. Even if you have money, I would suggest most of the listeners would not have the resources to mount a defense in the type of scenario facing Stephen and Brendan. Experts and investigators aren't cheap. They are crucial to examine the state's case. Police are people, too. They are mostly good, but there are bad ones. The ratio exists at the same rate as the people you see at work every day. There are great workers, lazy workers, and average workers, blowhards, and troublemakers. Police departments are no different. This is why I tell everyone, don't let your kids talk to the police if arrested or during an investigation. Tell your children to say, call my parents and nothing else. You never know which cop is going to show up. Remember, Brendan Dassey, if he said nothing, he would be free. Thanks for the great content and time you devote to us. Keep up the good work. P.S. I emailed Dean about the case, and he replied within a couple of days. He expressed being overwhelmed with all the positive appreciation in his work for his work on behalf of Stephen Avery. So, Brian, thank you for the email and giving another perspective to a lot of these things. What do you think, Jack?
Wasn't there a letter that didn't have a letter where he threatened his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, we did see that letter, I think, in the thing.
Okay.
He was thinking about something else. I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember him seeing something but where he said, I'm going to kill you or something like that. But I think it's more frustration. But
yeah.
that is good. I mean, good advice. Never talk. You know, like he's saying, there's good people, bad people in every walks of life. So yeah. You have to be careful. Some people are just looking to make.
For every you at an ice rink, there's a Russ and a Dale.
Exactly. So you know how I am. I'm easy to work with.
Probably, but you're a hard worker. You do your job well, and you have people that kind of just are lazy.
I hate to use the term lazy, but that's a good term to describe some people.
But no, now, it's a lot tricky.
There was a article I meant to read it. I think I posted it. And I was going to go back and read it, and I never went back and read it. I read some of it, but I said, "Oh, there's some of Stevie Avery stuff," and I posted on the Facebook page. I can't remember what it was. I don't know. I still think you got a raw deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. It's just when the state's kind of bearing down on you. And I think Scott talked about that. It's really hard to get out of that, whether you did it or not.
I was listening to Colin Cowherd today, and he was talking about. Funny, he was talking about Stephen Avery. Mm-hmm. The case. Because he brought up Peyton Manning, and there's some allegations, but it's not new allegations, but some new stuff coming out about Peyton Manning when he was in Tennessee, and how that even the HGH didn't hold, it didn't get any traction.
Yeah,
maybe because it was Al Jazeera that brought it up, and he said how Americans feel about Al Jazeera, and it's maybe that, and he goes, but they've had some. They brought up the Flint, Michigan. They're the first ones that brought up Flint, Michigan. He was saying, some people were trying to say, well, look at how Cam Newton was treated and compared to Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning walked off and didn't do any interviews after losing to the Colts.
Yeah, but it's different. But the difference is people like Peyton Manning. He's likable. And not that people don't like Cam Newton, but this was his first major on the spotlight, and he kind of blew it. But they was also saying, he was saying people try to make a racist. She goes, well, look at Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's done some things where but nothing sticks on Michael Jordan. Why? Because people like Michael Jordan. He's likable. So it comes down to where I think there is still a race problem, but I think it does come back if people like you or not.
I think it's, but it, well, so is there, I think it is like if you're likable, but is it harder to be likable if you are black versus if you are white by a large group of people?
In this country, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is.
If you're talking about the race, I think that's the lens.
But I've always said that the main color that matters in America is green.
Oh, yeah, because you look at Stephen Avery, too. Like, they're poor people.
He had no money.
Yeah.
So he's at the bottom, and they were considered. In that area, they were considered, trash. Basically, that's how townspeople looked at them. And it's not fair. It's not right. But that's how it was. But it was an interesting thing that Colin Cowherd was saying today about, but it is. I think it is harder if you're black to get over. To reach. Not everyone is Oprah, and
we almost have to be Michael maybe Jordan. Like overly whatever just to try and make sure.
But even people like, I don't know if you've been watching the O.J. Simpson thing.
I want to. To it.
I never watched the trial. I didn't. I wasn't into the trial. I just.
How is it though on FX? Do you like it?
It's actually pretty good.
That's what I hear. It's very good.
It's actually pretty interesting. But there's a scene where the second episode where he's the famous Broncos scene. Mm-hmm. And I remember this because I was watching the NBA game, the championship game. And they broke away to show this Bronco chase. And that just the whole nation was watching, OJ and this Bronco. Well, they show a scene that I didn't know about before. The police stopped him. They stopped the car, and they had the gun pointed. They had their guns out, and what's the football player's name that was with him? I've drawn a blank on his name. AC Green? Whatever his name is. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Uh-huh.
He's the one driving the Bronco. He goes, he's got a gun pointed to his head. And I turned to my wife. I said, well, if that's anybody else but OJ Simpson, they shoot him.
Yeah.
There's no way they let him drive away.
Yeah.
But since he was O.J. Simpson, back then everybody liked O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yeah. He was,
Who wouldn't want to be O.J. Simpson before all this happened?
Oh, yeah.
That's why when it happened, no. Then you hear that, he had several times had beat her and all this different. Yeah. All this. When everything started coming through, you're like, oh, wow. There's a dark side to him that you didn't know about.
You see now the guy that they're saying it could be CPT. Like all the head injuries.
Cuba Gooding Jr. said it. I mean, it could have been, but I don't know.
I mean, you're still responsible for your actions.
You're still,
but again, I guess it's like that head trauma.
Yeah, I mean, there's it doesn't excuse what he did.
No.
Allegedly. I mean, he found innocent of it.
Yeah.
But we know the truth. But no, I just said, well, see, I go, that had been me, they just would have shot me.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on who you are. And like I said, O.J. Simpson was the Michael Jordan of his time. He was very, very popular.
Oh,
he was in movies. He was, you know, he used to have the police over all the time for, you know, golfing and all this different stuff. And he was very good at PR, except he had a dark side to him. And I remember when it first came, I said, there's no way O.J. Simpson killed her. There's no way. Why would he do it? He's O.J. Simpson. But I mean, I know he did it, but it just. Anyway,
well, do you know he did it? It's still, or is it kind of, or you are the I don't know. I haven't done anything about it, so I don't know. But you think he did it?
Who else did it?
I don't know. I'm not educated about it at all, so I'm not gonna.
I mean, like I said, I didn't follow the trial, even though it was on every single day, and it was on Nightline, and every show at night had it on. I mean, I'd watch some recaps of it, you know, the trial and stuff like that. But it just seemed like. I don't know. I don't see how he couldn't have done it, but
yeah,
I mean, all the evidence points to that he did. But I just thought that scene was pretty, because they start the series showing Rodney King getting beaten by the cops, and they show how all that stuff happened. And then they show. So I was thinking, oh, they're just trying to show how the times were and how racially divided
the climate. Yeah,
I said, but wait a minute, were they just trying to show that O.J. Simpson? They wouldn't have beat O.J. Simpson like they'd beat Rodney King, because Rodney King was just a poor black guy.
I think they're trying to show the anti kind of cop sentiment that African Americans had in that community. So I think that, at least that's what I would think, that's why they're trying to set it up.
Well, I thought that in the beginning until I saw that scene where they just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if that had been Rodney King, they just would have shot him.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if he, they would have said, who cares if he pulls it? But because they say, I'm not killing O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
So it's how you stand on, it comes down to money too. I mean, how you are and how you treat and how you come across. I mean, like Colin Collier said about Peyton Manning, nothing sticks.
Yeah.
Cause he's on TV. He's funny. He's
but
this.
Then you look at somebody like, eventually it might catch up. If look at Bill Cosby, right?
Yeah. Bill Cosby was,
there was accusations like that for a long time.
Right. And people pushed it away, but they kept coming.
Now it's gone. You know, he's done.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, Bill Cosby?
Yeah.
But this is how this is how we do for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a Don Henley song, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. You build them up, just so you can tear them down.
Yep.
That's how we do in society. Anyway.
Anywho. All right, well, that's it.
You get
for,
back to that whole crime and evil stuff.
Yes. All right. Well, that is it for our second episode of Binge Watch. Again, in 2 weeks, we'll be doing Mr. Robot. So definitely check it out. It is available to binge on usanetwork.com/Mr. Robot/catch up.
Is this theme song from Styx?
Yeah. Tamo arigato. I
don't
know.
Mr. Robot.
I don't know if that'd be the right tone to set. But
why not?
I don't know.
Do you like the song?
It's a great song. I just don't know if that's what you want to, you know.
I was having a debate with someone last week because the whole Hall & Oates and the Hall of Fame still bugging me over Journey.
They're a great pop band. Journey,
he said,
a bunch of tools.
He said Hall & Oates sold more albums. I said, oh, no, they didn't. But I couldn't get Siri to prove. So I came home that night at 3 o'clock in the morning after reffing, found the total, and then texted him. 90 million albums sold for Journey.
I don't care.
It was 3 a.m. 40 million albums sold for Hall & Oates. And now Siri's answering.
Because you said, hey, Siri, that's why. I found something on the web about 340 million albums
sold. I don't know if you could hear that.
I did. All right. Anyway. Well, on that note, we'll see you guys for the next one for Mr. Robot. We'll be also recording Survivor this week, which you might not be on, Jack, because you were doing reffing.
I'm reffing at the PNC Center.
But we're also going to have a Walking Dead with you guys, three super guys, tonight.
Recording in 38 minutes, my third podcast today.
Woohoo! And I think a new Downton, right? or no, Amazing
New
Race.
New Downton Tomorrow. Amazing Race was the, this was the one with the internet sensations.
Oh, nice.
People in social media. Your mom goes, you and Jay could have been there.
We could have.
Well, we don't have 21 million followers.
We got like 14,000. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
They all have like 20 million followers, or is there like a couple that had 20
No,
million
there's
followers?
Like one guy on YouTube has like 21 million followers. I go, 20? And
was
I felt bad.
Was it PewDiePie?
Huh?
Was it PewDiePie?
No. Harold? Or I got to look them all up because I only knew the Frisbee guy and the girl from Southwest Airlines that got so many hits on her, the flight attendant.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. And we want to send a special thanks to Tack from Tokyo and Eckhart Richter for contributing at a significant amount.
And I unfortunately said Zach from Tokyo again.
What? It's...
I don't know why.
We're
I'm
trying
doing
to
it.
Get more patrons here. Can't we get their name right?
Well, it's
me.
My grandson's name is Zach.
It's Tack.
I know. I go Zach. Wait, because that's what I call. I call him. I don't call him Zachary. Mm-hmm. I call him Zach.
Uh huh.
And so it just in my head, Zach. And you know, once it's in my head, right or wrong, sorry, Tack, but
no, you're.
Can you do me a favor? Could you just change your name to Zach?
No.
Come on.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.